You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Give our guys some love, Bob Fesco. Give our guys some love.
Dane and Hughes and the Players Only Show tonight here at 6 o'clock, right? Is that what you said? 6 o'clock, Dust Man? 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Dane and Hughes and the Players Only Show. You want to tune in, listen to that. Dane's unbelievably talented, awesome, and a genius. And so I love listening to Danon on the
spitting
air.
Spitting hot fire.
He's fantastic. Danon has been such
not
a
that,
great addition.
Guy too.
Oh, phenomenal human being. And Thanksgiving's his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen, right? One plate and all sides. But Danon is just an unbelievable human. Him and Mitch are fantastic on the games together. The guy on the sidelines isn't bad himself. We'll have Mitch on the show tomorrow.
That's
here
right.
On 96.5. The fans, we get ready for more Bronco talk and ready to kick the donkeys right in the nuts, right?
Players Only. Tonight at 6, and then Mac Maury solo.
Solo, huh?
7
solo.
To 9.
Solo.
Look at this guy.
Look at you. They're
excited.
Already giving you the opportunity to go solo.
Let's go.
Don't be nervous.
A little.
Fantasy question. Zay Flowers
should
or DeAndre Hopkins this week?
Ooh, Zay or D-Hop. I like Zay Flowers tonight versus that trash Bengals secondary. What was it? Almost 80 combined points scored in that first game. I don't mind that.
Bob and I know that.
I think it was.
Have they played already this season? I know. Who
remember
the Chiefs
when,
play?
Remember when Zay Flowers fumbled on the 1 yard line? That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about fantasy because it makes me feel really, really good.
What happened to Zay Flowers? He hasn't just been the same since he fumbled at the 1 yard line.
What? Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute, dude.
Oh, what?
I was like, Zay might be a top 10 receiver in the league in year 2.
Good.
Boston College.
He
how you
recovered
doing?
Nicely from that.
He really
go to Boston College? Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
You don't see many people out of Boston College anymore in the
Your
NFL.
Your cousin from Boston. This was Tom Brady yesterday on Colin Cowherd's show, The Hurt.
Question, the answer is it progressively gets more and more. And I would say maybe at year one, it's 50% of the way that you want it. And then year two, it's 60%. And ultimately, you're trying to get to 100%. But even I think for Patrick, if I look at his situation and his development, and he was very lucky to sit behind. And Patrick, let me get this out of the way. He is a phenomenal player. To me, is, you know, he, Lamar, Josh Allen, you're talking about the upper echelon, as we all know. And Patrick is going to go down as one of the greats ever for a number of reasons. But if I look at him, he went to college at Texas Tech. He had Cliff Kingsbury there with him for 3 years, an NFL caliber coach running a lot of NFL caliber type calls and methodologies behind what he's doing. So he had 3 years of that. Then he goes to the Chiefs and he's got Alex Smith as the guy that's ahead of him, who's a phenomenal player, great leader, does everything the right way. And then he's got Andy Reid as his play caller. So it's like there's a reason why it all works and there's this development that happens and why Patrick has been able to ascend so quickly. And he would have found a way to ascend at some point anyway. I'm just saying I could never have reached this area of growth that I needed to, whether that was year one or three or five. It was accelerated because of all the things that I had in place. When I was in college, I ran a pro-style offense.
Yeah.
I got drafted. I had Bill Belichick teach me. I got to sit behind Drew Bledsoe. I worked really hard to learn all those things and embrace the challenge. And I think when you're a young quarterback, ultimately that's what you're trying to do. Be in a situation where you can learn, grow, develop. It's all about mentorship.
And that's why the Chiefs remain successful, because it all started then. And now you're seeing it now. And I think that question brings up how to adjust in the NFL. This is the matchup they were talking about, which is Denver and the Chiefs. Short week was the question. How is, you know, how does Bo Nix try to stay relevant in the NFL? And how has Patrick Mahomes been so good at it?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we know in Kansas City, because at least once, sometimes twice a year, Mahomes will always pay homage to Alex Smith. He's like, yeah, without Alex, I'm not the quarterback I am.
He's
and
right.
That's fantastically fine and accurate. And the thing is I always kind of use the Moses analogy with Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith was never going to be the guy that won you the championships, right? He was going to get you eventually to the promised land. And by him doing that, it was preppy Mahomes who eventually does get you there. Moses never got to the promised land. He was getting the people there and getting them ready to go to it. Alex Smith.
And then the flood happened.
Yeah. And so Alex Smith, you know, tried to make sure that they could get the team back. Alex Smith and Andy Reid built this team back up, got it going. And then with Mahomes being drafted and Mahomes getting the prep from Alex Smith, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Because the God-given talent in Mahomes' body was there. But the mindset and the framework of what the NFL was then distributed onto Alex Smith. And what do we always say, guys? Great players never make great coaches. Mediocre players make good make great coaches. Jim Harbaugh, right? Decent quarterback, not the greatest, became a great coach.
I was like, mediocre players make great coaches. I'm thinking like you're talking about a player in a separate category from, I got you. Yeah, you're right. Like an average player in the NFL is a better coach than a great player in the NFL.
Average, mediocre, synonyms of each other.
No. But you were saying a mediocre player makes a great coach. And I was thinking like you're taking a mediocre player in with one hand,
right,
and then a coach in another hand, and a mediocre player makes a coach better.
Like Carson Steele making Andy Reid good or something.
That's what I thought.
No, I got it.
Alex Smith, right, never going to be known as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever play, but I guarantee you if Alex Smith wanted to coach, he'd be damn good.
Well, he'd be really good as a coach, I think, but he'd be stupid to do that, and I would tell him that to his face. He's making more money at ESPN. Don't go coach. But it's good to hear Tom Brady kind of, you know, talk about what I've been saying with this Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid relationship for all of these years. The coach-quarterback relationship and tandem is vital to the success in the NFL, and if you get drafted and you're a quarterback that gets drafted in this league, chances are if you're a high draft pick, you're going to a really bad coach. That's why they're picking high, and you don't have an opportunity to have success. I do believe the league has failed a lot of coaches or a lot of players over the years at the quarterback position because they've had bad head coaches and they haven't been given that opportunity. Look, I'm not a huge Caleb Williams fan, but I also don't think he's in a great spot. I just don't. I don't think he has a good leader.
He also has a terrible head coach.
Terrible head coach, right? Like a terrible head coach. Patrick Mahomes would have been a good quarterback in this league. But I always say, if he was drafted by the Giants, he would have been on his third or fourth head coach at this point in time, never had that mentor of Alex Smith. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be the guy that he is right now if he was in any other situation. And that's just fact. It is a perfect relationship with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and even more perfect when you add Alex Smith into the to the fray. And that's what Tom Brady's saying, man. He's like, I had Bill Belichick, and I got to learn from Drew Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady was never drafted or chosen, however you want to say it, to replace Drew Bledsoe. That was their guy. They were rolling with Drew Bledsoe. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick out of Michigan who was doughy in the midsection. And so that was just a guy that they had on their roster. And then, ipso facto, here we sit. But if he wasn't set up with a guy like Drew Bledsoe and set up with a coach like Bill Belichick, who knows where Tom Brady's career is going to be? It could be Ryan Leaf, you know?
Right.
That's why I look back. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with Tony Dungy and how ass he is and how much better Peyton Manning could have been had he had. I mean, if Peyton Manning was with Andy Reid, good Lord, they may never have lost a playoff game or a Super. They may still be winning Super Bowls together.
Somebody just didn't understand the conversation. Somebody says, how are you comparing Harbaugh's career to Alex? He was light years better. That's not what we said. I'm going to clear this up for you because this is the second time this has happened today. I said mediocre players make great coaches.
Think about the best coaches that are in professional sports today.
Right.
How many of them? Dan Campbell. Average player.
Was a tight end. Nobody even knew.
Marginal tight end.
I
knew he played for the Giants.
For the Giants.
But he wasn't anything special, right? Andy Reid never played in the NFL.
No. Well, yeah, he was just a coach and an offensive lineman.
He's a BYU guy, just a guy. Bill Belichick never played in the NFL, but was a good coach. Like, find me a great player.
Does Vrabel count? Because he wasn't really a great coach. He was a good coach, but he wasn't maybe a great player. Maybe he was a great player. I don't know.
I think he's good in both categories.
Okay.
Like, Vrabel would be the guy I hire this offseason.
D'Amico Ryans.
I don't remember him much as a player. Great coach.
Yeah.
You know, good player, I guess. I mean, but I don't know that he was a great... I wouldn't call D'Amico Ryans a great player, but good player, captain of his team, you know, type of thing. But
an example of this.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
George Brett tried to be the hitting coach.
Didn't work.
That's not a shot against George.
No.
It's just that, like, it's hard for him to explain here's how I did it. Dude, you hit 390 in a year. You're one of the best top five hitters of all time.
Yeah, well, just do that. Well,
Tony Gwynn never made a coach.
Right. Ted Williams, people always would go back to, one of the greatest hitters of all time. He had like a hot stint with like George did as the hitting coach of the Red Sox. I can't figure this thing out. Nobody, I just swing and hit the ball. Like,
and somebody keeps, and a name that keeps coming up is Deion Sanders. Hasn't done it in the pros yet.
No, Deion doesn't count.
The collegiate level is different. We're talking pros here.
We're not talking
college. The collegiate level is different.
I mean, look at Jeff Saturday.
Whew. That was a tough situation. By the way, I think I have a soggy thing that you might like.
Right.
And if I don't, then I don't know if you're trolling me or not. Do you like Oreos?
Mm-hmm.
Do you dip them in milk?
Just real quick.
Okay.
Just get a little coating up, quick dunk. That's it.
Satanic.
You let your Oreo float around and go, ooh.
No, but I hold it in there with a little bit of fork, with a fork, and let it get a little bit soft.
Nah, just a quick dip, a little wet. That's it.
Dusty was so sure he had you, man. Nah. He was so excited for that. Sorry.
What's the over-under on seconds you hold the Oreo in the milk?
It's just a dunk.
I don't think it's a dunk.
So it's still crispy and hard when you eat it?
Yeah, but it's still got a little moist to it.
Oh, you are not from this earth.
It's a quick dunk. Why do I want a soggy cookie?
Everybody eats Oreos soggy.
Who's the one that says stays crispy in milk? Whatever that is. See, we're peddling that out there as a slogan. It stays. Is it Crispex or whatever? Like, it stays crispy in milk.
There's got to be something that's soggy that you like. There has to be, other than crackers and chili.
Say something else.
Crackers and chili.
Yeah, it's fine, but that's it never gets to that soggy standpoint.
What about the end of a Jersey Mike sandwich? Do you eat that? With all the juice
soggy
at the end?
It does get soggy.
Oh,
are you talking like soggy bread? No, I'm out on that.
You're out. Wow.
Like if the peanut butter and jelly would bleed through the bread.
Oh, I loved it.
I can't do
You're
that.
You're done?
Oh, I loved it.
Damn.
Not going to do that. No.
Yeah. All right.
I've never really had this conversation about this before, but the more we talk about it, the more I
always have it after I get out of my garage.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, it's grades, you know, like school, but this time we do it with sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Damn glad to have you. 913-586-7965. Grades. That's what we're giving, grades. Because the Kansas City Chiefs, according to some, A+.
CBS Sports, A+.
You agree or disagree?
Well, I agree. I mean, it's
with an A+.
With an A+. I mean, they're 8-0. They are undefeated. Yeah. You know, they've done everything right. The Chiefs just appear inevitable at this point. Patrick Mahomes has 9 interceptions, but leads the NFL in game-winning touchdown drives 3. Like, so take your interceptions and kick them into the air because Patrick Mahomes finds ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
The offense appears to be finding its stride with Kareem Hunt as the number one running back and DeAndre Hopkins in the fold. Chiefs defense is the backbone of the roster, ranking in the top 5 in points and yards allowed. Top 5 defense, thank you. The Chiefs could have a higher sack rate, but who couldn't? But the players who can get pressure on the quarterback late do. The team just knows how to win and is top of the AFC for a reason. Andy Reid and Mahomes, the best head coach quarterback duo in football.
We will be joined by Nate Taylor in just a few seconds or minutes, whatever it is in this world today. And we can ask him that question. Also, we can ask a question about the game tonight that we had earlier. I want to bring back that conversation later on because I thought it had some really good legs that are still fresh to that about Baltimore-Cincinnati tonight, which is a dynamite game if you ask me. But it is 8:24 on a Thursday, and it is time to go to our guy and my fellow mule from UCM, Nate Taylor.
The only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on there, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
8:24 on a Thursday. It's Nate Taylor time presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Mr. Nate Taylor, what grade do you give the Kansas City Chiefs so far in the regular season?
Well, good morning, fellas. Let's give them a B+.
What? You know? Okay, thank you for coming by, Nate. We'll talk to you again next week. B+?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. CBS Sports just gave him an A+. Bob Fesco gives him an A++++. And you're going B+?
I'd give him an A-, Nate, if I'm being fair.
Okay, Mac, what are you giving him?
A plus.
All right, Mac, smart.
So explain the B plus, Nate.
Yeah, explain that one.
I would say it's mostly due to the fact that, I don't know. It's tough because this is not the team that was supposed to be on the field, honestly, when you looked at it on paper in August. So it's basically your perspective on how you want to grade. They are not a perfect football team. I want to make that very clear. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why they're not an A. even though their record's perfect, they are not a perfect team. You know, they still have issues. You know, we've talked about it before, particularly now at cornerback. I know the competition is going to get better in the second half of the season. You know, left tackle is still an issue, guys. And I don't think that's going to change. The coaching has been a lot better from about week five on. I think the first month of the season, they were really trying to figure out, man, how do we stabilize things? Oh, my goodness, another guy got hurt.
But isn't that why they should be an A-plus? Because, as you mentioned, they don't have the team they thought. Like, Rashi Rice right. and Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, gone. And,
right.
And they're still guys, undefeated.
Right. But my thing is, if those guys were available, if those guys were in uniform, then and they would still, I think, probably be a no, and they would be a better football team. It's just one of those things that, like, there's no right or wrong answer, I think, to this question. I just get the sense that, like, you know, there are some – the margin of error, as we all know, is not that big. It's pretty slim. It does help that the best quarterback in football is starting to play like the best quarterback in football. And I think that's another reason why I wouldn't necessarily give the team an A, because he struggled for a sizable chunk of this season. And the last 2 weeks, he is all of a sudden, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, which credit to the front office, he looks like the best quarterback in football again. And so that's a really positive sign. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I look at the team and I know they're 8-0, but at the same time, man, they have so many ways that they can still improve between now and the postseason. And that should honestly scare everybody in the NFL because if I'm giving them a B-plus, I know that they can actually get better in the second half of the season. And I think Patrick Mahomes and a lot of the leaders on the team know that too.
Yeah, I think you're giving them a B-plus, so they have a little bulletin board material now, and they go, look, this Nate Taylor guy said we're just a B-plus football team. Well, we got to go show him 41-10 over the Broncos this weekend. Before we get to that game, though, we had a conversation earlier about who do you want to win tonight, and it's Cincinnati versus Baltimore. I want Baltimore to eliminate Cincinnati. Where do you stand on what's going on tonight? Because I think tonight's a big game.
Yeah, tonight'll be fun. And they've already played this season too, so you have that extra layer to it as well. I don't think Cincinnati's good, guys. I don't think they're good. And it's okay to acknowledge that. Like, if I'm giving the Chiefs a B+, like the Bengals are a D, based on their talent level, the fact that their quarterback has been, you know, an odd character this season, you know, and that even includes the choice of his hairstyle. But look, I think Baltimore's the better team. I'm really interested to see how Deontay Johnson looks. You know, he will, you know, he's basically their DeAndre Hopkins, basically after their trade. And so even though it's a short week and it's only like his second week on the team, how does he, you know, sort of incorporate himself with Zay Flowers, with obviously Derrick Henry? And the Bengals have never really done a great job containing Lamar Jackson. Even though they're divisional opponents, even though they see him two times a year, usually Lamar has some of his best games against the Bengals. I don't think that'll necessarily change. This is in Baltimore. It'd be quite impressive if Cincinnati wins tonight. I just don't give them much of a chance, just because I think there's really three teams in the AFC. And it's unfortunate, because I understood that there was going to be some level of a sophomore slump, and maybe he'll sort of climb out of it in the second half of the season. It doesn't help that Stephon Diggs is hurt. But I think there's just three teams at the top of the AFC, and that's the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. And so there is some continuity there from previous seasons. But Cincinnati was supposed to be better than this, and I think they're too far down a hole that I just don't see them competing in this division when they haven't even played Mike Tomlin yet, who usually gets a game or two from you as well in that division.
Nate, I want to bring this up because it's Bronco week. I know that Patrick Mahomes is exceptional against the AFC West, but if you win this game, we can agree that the AFC West is over, right? I don't think we can slam dunk that now unless you beat Denver, because then you'd have a win over all three opponents. But if you win this game and you win against Buffalo, which, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs, as of right now in DraftKings in Vegas, the Chiefs are a 1-point favorite in that game in Buffalo. If you win these next 2 weeks, and I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but if you win these next 2 weeks, the AFC in general is over, right?
Yes. I tend to agree with you, Dusty. Think about it this way. The Chiefs have a real chance to sweep the AFC West. And for all those years of the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Patriots dynasty, that's what they used to do. They used to go either 5-1 or they would sweep the AFC East. And the Chiefs have the exact, you know, similar opportunity to do it this year, even with an improved Chargers team. Now, you know, that was the closest game of you know, the divisional game so far this season. I think the Raiders are getting worse as the season goes along. I can't imagine how Bo Nix feels this week looking at the film, seeing the amount of blitzes that Steve Spagnuolo has already put on tape, and knowing that he's going to give you probably two or three new ones because you're a rookie quarterback playing in Arrowhead Stadium for the first time. I think the Chiefs, even with a short week, should feel confident that if they get up by double digits, it's going to be very difficult for Bo Nix, for that offense to you know, get into high gear and do what Baker Mayfield did on Monday night, which I thought was really impressive in a 2-minute drill, getting the team down the field and obviously scoring a touchdown. You know, Baker Mayfield has a lot of experience, which Bo Nix does not have. If they win, to your point, Dusty, if they win Sunday, the AFC West is pretty much assured. And then if they beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, based on the psychological damage that could do to one of your biggest, conference rivals, it gives them a commanding lead towards the number one seed, towards home field advantage. It's something I didn't think he was going to take the question there, but when I asked Patrick after the game on Monday, hey, how difficult is it to throw in, you know, rainy conditions and obviously playing with an ankle injury, and he got to the point of like, well, I want to play here. I don't want to play anywhere else. I don't want to do what I did last year. Like, home field advantage was the words that came out of his mouth near the midway point of the season. So you can already tell from a leadership standpoint, Patrick understands exactly what you're saying, Dusty, and now he's going to try to push his teammates to ensure that, look, we don't have to get on a plane in January. We can just stay home, and the AFC can run through Arrowhead Stadium yet again. I think as long as they don't look too far ahead to Buffalo, and if they handle their business at home against Denver, then they really do have a chance to just tell everyone that you're really playing for the number two seed, so that you can be as far away from the Chiefs as possible when the playoffs start.
Well, that's where I was going to go with that, Nate Taylor. It's like, if they beat Buffalo next week and they're sitting at 10-0, there's nobody in contention to have home field advantage with the Chiefs. Like, it legitimately is over. Who would you put in contention? Would it still be Buffalo, or would it be the Steelers, maybe, if they continue to win? Like,
right. It's weird. It would like kind of be the Steelers. Now, look, I don't think the Steelers are going to stay with two losses. They have, again, Baltimore to deal with on their own. Mm-hmm. They have to play Cincinnati as well. But,
and the Chiefs.
And they have the Chiefs on Christmas Day, of course. So, you know, there's three games that really matter on the season that are not AFC West opponents. Obviously, it's Buffalo next week. You play, you know, the Houston Texans right before Christmas, and then obviously you play the Steelers on Christmas. If you go 2 of 3 in those games, you're the number one seed. If you sweep them, obviously you're the number one seed. And the only way you would allow yourself for the race to sort of, you know, where the pack comes back to you, or you come back to the pack, is if you lose all three games, which I don't necessarily see at this point. So the biggest thing to watch for Sunday's game is, hey, is Patrick Mahomes' ankle as stable as it physically can be? Because I think, obviously, the bigger challenge is the following week. You know, you hope with more treatment, with more rest, you know, the strength in those tendons will get stronger for the bigger, important game against Buffalo. But, yeah, I mean, Bob, if they're 10-0, they can start to really plan how to go forward with one of the more wackier second half of the seasons I've ever seen from a schedule standpoint, where you know you have these jam-packed games in this short amount of time. But man, it'd be really comfortable if you could try to navigate that with a 10-0 record, knowing you have essentially a 3 or 4 game lead on everybody else for the number one seed.
Nate, last one before we get you out of here. We had a question from our text line today, the Jay Southland text line. It said, would you rather have in the playoffs Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco or DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt?
Oh, I have to pick between the two?
See, that's a great question, right? Right? Isn't that great?
I mean, thanks, text line. Love you guys. The funny thing about this is we have revisionist history, of course. Mm-hmm. I did watch last year that, I mean, I think people tend to forget, Isaiah Pacheco was incredible getting the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. Now, he did not have a good Super Bowl, but he was great in the first three playoff games. Obviously, Rashee Rice is excellent. The storyline is better for Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
If you're an actual Chiefs fan, you should if you had to pick between the two, you probably want the younger players who are coming off of injury, and I understand that, but they've done it before, and you think with the experience and the fact that they're still in their primes, they would perform at a high level. Mm-hmm. I think DeAndre Hopkins is as motivated as you could ever ask for someone in his particular status of his career right now.
Oh, I agree.
I know Kareem Hunt has played unbelievable football. Like I think if Kareem Hunt was on 25 other teams, he would not have this level of production. He would not be this consistent. He would not show this level of determination to literally get his team across the finish line in a game that like half the league loses against the Buccaneers because they're just not playing their best on their best night, or their quarterback is hurt and it sort of destroys the game plan. The better storyline. I mean, obviously, I'm a journalist. I understand what the news is, and the introspective of all this. The better story would be, I can't wait to see how DeAndre Hopkins does in a playoff game with Patrick Mahomes. But I do think the better team would be Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco.
I just love the motivation of both Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins in this season because both have never been there. Both have an opportunity, Kareem to make up for lost time, DeAndre Hopkins to make up for never getting the opportunity to chase a ring. That motivation to me is going to be fun to watch down the stretch with those two guys in particular.
Yeah. And the other thing too, because I was thinking about this yesterday, guys, all the things that DeAndre Hopkins did against the Buccaneers, all of it was simple stuff. Mm-hmm. It was slants. It was, it was a little like, hey, give me a nice little hitch route with a little spin move on top to break a tackle in the open field or in a one-on-one matchup. Hey, can you just get a contested catch in the middle of the field? Like, it was all simple stuff. Man, as they learn more about him, as you would assume they get Pacheco back healthy, who knows, maybe Hollywood Brown comes back sometime in December, as they get all these guys, the game plan will get even more specified. And all of a sudden, now you're putting that level of talent with DeAndre Hopkins with like, hey, man, we're going to put you in conflict all day. Like whoever the cornerback safety is, because, Travis Kelce still exists, obviously. I was just thinking about that. They showed the Buccaneers the most basic part of their playbook with DeAndre Hopkins. 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. So it can get better because him and the quarterback will obviously, continue to build their own chemistry. And then when you get to the playoffs, you obviously get the best of the Chiefs playbook. So that's what's even more fascinating about DeAndre Hopkins is not only the storyline, the motivation, the fact that this could put him over the top in terms of his candidacy for Canton down the road as a future Hall of Famer. But, man, they're actually going to, start using him running, legit routes. He ran the most basic routes on Monday, and the Buccaneers could not stop him. So, obviously, with better competition, you're going to need better plays. But if he's doing this well this soon, man, I really do want to see what that game plan looks like in a playoff game against Baltimore or Buffalo, where they find ways to scheme DeAndre Hopkins either in zone coverage or in one-on-one situations where, hey, man, you weren't showing that back in, November. And that's kind of the point because the Chiefs offense continues to grow as the season moves along.
Well, Nate, we appreciate the time. I give today's interview with you a B+.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're always an A-plus fan.
How's it feel, Nate?
Hey, there's always room to improve, right? I mean, as someone who coached youth soccer over the spring,
hey, gentlemen,
great win. We could, hey, Dean, pass the ball, my guy. Hey,
right.
Hayden, you know, can you control the touch? Control the touch. Great job winning, guys. So, yep. I mean, I get it. You know, it's all the same.
No doubt about it. Nate, we appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy the game at home at noon for once.
Hallelujah.
No doubt about
it,
man.
So good.
Praise be, Nate. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, fellas.
You got it. Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.
Other than winning the Super Bowl, nothing makes Chiefs fans more excited than a nooner.
I can't wait. Plus, there's a Germany game.
Yeah.
So you can wake up, watch football.
It's Carolina Giants.
I don't care.
Call that football.
I don't care. I love 8:30 games. Yeah. I will make a breakfast. I'll make a coffee. And then I'll get a 30-minute window. And then it begins.
And you got football. We'll be in the parking lot. Come find us at the bus. Maller will be out there tailgating as well on Sunday. But you get that nooner, man. I love a nooner. And then you go home, catch the second half of the 3 o'clock games. And you're ready to go for the nightcap. I mean, it's great. It is fantastic.
Coming up on the other side, we have a little hypothetical, as if we were to be GMs of baseball, because there's something that went on that I had no idea. Kind of like quiet time. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey.
Next Tuesday.
Listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
We're back. 96.5 The Fan, trying to give you an A-plus show today.
We're back.
Everybody on the bullpen that's currently out there, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Cody not here yet. Their show comes up at 10 o'clock. I asked him, would you rather have Isaiah Pacheco and Rashee Rice or Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins? This is what Alex did to me.
What did you do? Show
obviously
him like cereal
Isaiah
with milk?
He goes, obviously it's Isaiah Pacheco and Rashee Rice.
Is it? I don't know that it is.
Obviously.
I don't know that it's obvious. I think it's a good question, man. The text line hit a home run with that one day. Take the rest of the day off.
Yeah, 913. He said, thank you guys for bringing my question to the air. I said, thank you for bringing up such a
great
good question.
Great question. Fun.
And thank you for being a part of the show.
Yeah.
Just like anybody else out there, you can be part of the show as well.
In a good way. Don't be a jerk.
Rice and Pacheco would have finished top 10 at their positions if healthy. They are the easy winner from the 785.
Whatever you go with and whoever you answer isn't wrong.
Yes.
Because I think both of them are obviously would you rather have $10 million or $11 million?
I think that it's more so what Nate said. I think talent-wise and team-wise, it would be Pacheco and Rice. Storyline-wise, it's Hopkins and Kareem.
But I take it to the next level and go, the motivation factor for me is what I like about this, because they haven't been there before, right? Like, not that Rice and Pacheco are seasoned vets, but I mean...
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Pacheco would be going to, what, his third straight Super Bowl, right? And Rice would be going to his second straight Super Bowl. They're like, yeah, we've been there, done that. I love guys that haven't had this experience yet. Like, watching Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins excel and have the team excel and see them enjoy the successes of this team, I kind of like that angle. I do. I think it's cool to see.
Yeah. So GM meetings are a thing in baseball.
Did you know this was going on?
I didn't know quiet time existed in baseball.
I think that has to be new. I don't. I never heard of that before.
But no, you mentioned this in our group about, you know, hey, there's quiet time. Did you know this?
Right. Last week, I guess, from the end of the World Series for 5 days, they call it quiet time. I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, breaking news out of the NFL, the Carolina Panthers have extended running back Chuba Hubbard, a guy who a lot of people thought was going to get traded. He's actually really good.
I mean, but why do that now? Why are you running to extend your running back on a team that stinks? And
just drafted a running back this year.
And
he's about to play next week.
Adam Schefter's about to redo his tweet because he says a contract extension for China Hubbard.
Oh, no, that's not the guy.
That's what it says right now. China Hubbard, yeah. Which he was also, what was he watching? He was watching like some sort of streaming device. It was like a weird
He has
one.
The illegal streaming, yeah, I guess. LeBron has it too, though. Like, yeah. I mean, everybody gets busted on that.
Anyways, so yeah, that news. And yeah, Brooks is supposed to be like the next guy.
Yeah, I really like Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, well.
Bill?
Yeah, Bill Brooks. But again, welcome to the new age of the NFL. That maybe that's a topic. It's now going back to everybody's going to have two running backs.
Yeah, well, you should have always had two running backs. You're just thinking about two running backs that you know.
Some teams would always do it. Right? That was just who it was. But like this is now becoming part of it. Like you look at Detroit. You look at Baltimore even. They use Derrick Henry. They use Justice Hill quite a bit. You will see Justice Hill quite a bit.
They use too to run the football. Yeah. You know, so they got like three dudes.
But going back to what we started this with, which is GM meetings are going on in baseball.
Do you know where the GM meetings are?
Oh. I'm going to say New York.
Oh, you're wrong. Okay. You're not even close. Okay. San Antonio, Texas, which they don't have a team. But not that you need them. But anyway, but it's weird because like this should be something that's big in baseball. Mm-hmm. Baseball needs to create their offseason like the football does and like the NBA does. Like how I don't like the NBA whatsoever. I don't like basketball. Not my thing. But I love the free agent period of the NBA. I love the drama. I love the player mm-hmm. movement. I love all of that stuff. I love the free agency period in the NFL. Even if it involves a team I don't care about. Mm-hmm. You get the tampering period and then the signing period and it happens fast and it's over. The baseball offseason is very much akin to what baseball used to be. A 17-hour day at the ballpark, smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, watch three innings, do this, do that. Like, it's too long. Like, they need to condense their offseason like football and basketball does and have a sprint when free agency starts and guys are just signing and doing their thing and not wasting. Like, I saw something yesterday. They were talking about some free agent, and it wasn't Juan Soto. I don't remember who it was. It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's going to be a while before this guy signs. Why? Let's have the tampering period for 3 days. Let's open free agency on day four, and let's have a freaking sprint where fans are engaged in something like this. And that helps baseball. Fans love drama. We love the off season,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Like, let's go, man.
We were talking off the air about a hypothetical, right? Like, because for some reason, like, let's just be fair. We know that the Royals are not going to get Juan Soto, but there's not necessarily a reason why they couldn't, right? Like,
yeah.
It's baseball. You can buy anybody you want.
Anybody you want. The Royals right. have a better chance of signing Juan Soto than the Chiefs have of signing
Tyreek Hill again.
Or Jamar Chase.
Or Chase, yeah. Yeah. Any free agent that's like a high-up guy. And
because in baseball, you can. In football, you've got limitations.
Yeah, for the obvious, yeah. And it said that a team of interest is the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense because that's not what Tampa Bay does.
Right.
Now, again, you can sign anybody you want, but we know Tampa Bay's route, right? Like, they get guys, they develop them, and then they trade them off and get a farm system and develop them again and then trade them off. You've seen it before with Blake Snell, James Shields, all those guys, Tyler Glass now, I mean, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, that's what they do. And I was thinking out loud with Bob, and I was like, well, what if the Royals did have Juan Soto? Would Bobby Wood Jr. still hit second?
I'd bat him lead off and put Soto at second, and Vinny at third, and Salvi four.
And then nobody else would need to hit.
That's right.
And then Massey would be your fifth hitter.
Probably.
But yeah, like, would Soto lead off or would Bobby lead off?
I would have Bobby lead off in that situation.
Hit 328 at second.
That's okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's okay.
That would just be insane to think that Bobby Witt Jr. is now your leadoff
hitter. I mean, it's 1-0.
Yeah.
Right, it's 1-0. Yeah, or 2-0. You know, however you want to look at it. But they're scoring runs. I mean, Bobby's getting on, and they're scoring runs. And so, you know, Juan Soto, honest to God, is probably more legit for the Royals than Tyreek Hill is coming back to Kansas City. And I just think baseball, they need to embrace the offseason more and do it better. Like, the winter meetings are nice, but then everything goes dormant because of the holidays, and all of a sudden it's spring training. Like, they should have this period that the NBA and NBA free agent. Agency's over before July 4th. Major League Baseball or NFL free agency's over right about, you know, March Madness and St. Patrick's Day, and you move through it. Baseball's like, well, this guy's meeting with, and then you forget about it. Like, it's not on top of your mind. If they did a sprint for free agency for 5 days in baseball right about this time of year, I think people would absolutely go crazy over it. Plus, baseball needs better insiders, too. You got Bob Nightingale and the guy who said Arson Judge was going to San Francisco. Like, you need your Schefters. You need your Woj bombs. Like, I don't know how you grow that, you know? But I think right now, baseball needs to find a way to make the offseason exciting and make it fun and do it like football.
I want to bring up again Thursday Night Football and also remind you that Alex Gold will join us in about 20 minutes. And I and he disagree on something about tonight, but something that we can all disagree upon is this game tonight. And who do you want to win? I don't even need to say the names because Kansas City, I know you know who's playing tonight. Mac Morey does too. And he hosts tonight at 7 o'clock. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.